time to abandon ship.
Oh no!
Here we go.
Can I persuade you to join us for a drink? It's a tradition.
Here, here.
Jar Jar, homie, my main man. Quickly, before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey, this is escape.
Then where the pod?
Jesus!
Welcome back to Star Wars Escape Pod and the next after show for the Bad Batch. We are talking about episode 13, and with only two left in season 3, which is the final season of the show, we have a larger party tonight, which is pretty exciting. So we'll be joining Blake, Bryce, Kyle, Francis, all in the Escape Pod tonight to have a good chat about the latest Bad Batch. What's going on with Alki, the Newfoundland convention happening on the east coast of Canada, as well as some news on The Mandalorian and Grogu, season 4 of The Mandalorian, and something I got up to this week, which is kind of fun. So let's get into it. Hello, hello, Bryce.
Wait,
I'm muted.
I was muted. But you're just a mute.
How you guys doing?
I took a chance on one of you guys' names. I picked the wrong one.
picked the wrong one. I was like mid eating a hot dog.
One out of four. One out of four, and you get the guy getting a hot dog.
Oh, man. Hot dog eating contest.
That's nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
that little Yoda gag. All right. Nice. Welcome back.
Wait, that Yoda gag was awesome.
That little Yoda gag? One of our favorite games. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. We also got this one. Yeah, the funny
seagulls coming around. That's exactly what I heard there. All right.
Maybe that's where they got the idea of the song. Welcome back, Blake. Hello, hello, Kyle. I mean, I'm sure we've had a lot of people tuning in over the last, you know, number of weeks. But just so that, you know, we address any new listeners to the audience, perhaps you could just briefly tell us what Alki is and where you are and what's going on this weekend.
All right, definitely, man. So Alki, we are a premium lightsaber company. We also have an extremely high end clientele, which includes a lot of stars from Star Wars, and we do everything from prefabricated models all the way to custom builds. And we even have our exclusives, and now we're coming out with our own microchips. So there's a lot of really awesome stuff that's happening out there with Alki right now. So that, and right now I'm actually in Newfoundland.
Awesome.
A newfound land.
That's right. And last weekend I was over in Vancouver Island. So from one end of the country to the other, we're out there. It's me and Alex, and we're just having a ton of fun doing all this stuff. And get this. So tomorrow night, we're going to go up on Signal Hill. Okay. So everybody in Newfoundland, you guys all know where Signal Hill is. Everybody that's outside Newfoundland, it is one of the most awesome spots to go to in Newfoundland. And we're going to go up top, and it's going to be me and Alex having a battle. And then what we're going to do is light up a ton of lightsabers over Signal Hill. So let's see how that looks. I'm sure it's going to look great. It's going to be great for the Sci-Fi on the Rock convention. I wish you guys could be here.
Yeah,
I really do.
That sounds awesome. I just looked.
This is my family home.
I'm just looking at pictures of Signal Hill right
that's
now.
Like, such a good time.
Yeah, that's gonna be
this is Highlander and shit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at there's
this
a giant
really cool
castle on the top of the hill. Yeah,
they've never found the bottom of the pond.
What
That's ominous. I'm serious to this day. Yeah. And since I was a child, it was like the big thing. Like, you never swim in there. It's dead man's pond when you go to this day, apparently. You do have to understand, everybody that's out there, I am going off of what my Uncle Danny told me. Now, this is hearsay, and this is Newfoundland hearsay. Okay?
Newfoundland hearsay, a.k.a. take with a massive grain of salt.
That's exactly how, but in Newfoundland here, you know, history, if you swim down, you're gone. So that's where I'm at. I'm literally right up the road from it right now. The best part was we're driving in here, and I love Newfoundland, but the best part was driving in here, and we go from the airport to go to my Uncle Danny's, and my girlfriend's like, well, where's the city? And I go, we're in it. I'm like, we're literally in it right now.
Welcome to Canada.
Yeah, welcome to the East Coast, honey.
Yeah, nice.
This ain't no Vancouver, okay?
No. Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say just a little Newfoundland fun, because I know for a fact that Newfoundlanders love it when you talk about Newfoundland. And here I am in Newfoundland right now myself, right from the bay. My Uncle Danny's got the big cod shop right up the big cod store right up the place there. I can see it from where I'm at. I'm in Newfoundland. I love it here. It's one of the greatest places in Canada. And if anybody ever gets the chance in the world to come here, you got to come to Newfoundland.
While you're at the convention this weekend, you're going to be asking some questions to all of the fans that show up, and or at least some of them, and those who may want to, you know, have their two cents on the podcast. I'm gonna come up with a list of Star Wars questions for you guys to ask them, and get their two cents on stuff. So just little things here and there, and that'll be in the next week's episode that we'll play those, if we manage to collect any of those sound bites. But I'm pretty excited to see how that turns out. So to anyone who was at the convention this past weekend, who is listening to this episode right now, you might hear yourself next week. Season 3, episode 13, Into the Breach. Omega is introduced to her fellow Project Necromancer test subjects, Eva, Jack, Sammy, and Bayern. She tells them that she has escaped from Tantus before and plans to do so again using the passage behind their cell walls, one of which the service droids use for the blood samples. The Bad Batch and Rampart rendezvous with Echo and a stolen Imperial shuttle, which they use to infiltrate an Imperial relay station above Coruscant and find the coordinates for Tantus. Unable to extract the information from the station's databanks, Echo decides to sneak aboard the science shuttle bound for Tantus and disable the proximity sensors. This allows the others to dock on the vessel in their stolen shuttle just as it enters hyperspace. So that was this past week's episode.
Things are going down, man. Things are going down. I thought it was really cool seeing Omega take a leadership position with the other Project Necromancer test subjects. And the difference between Omega right now and Omega from the beginning of this series is astounding. The amount of confidence that she has, just how much more witty she is, the fact that she's able to quip and almost tease her project partners into making them feel better. I think she's had some amazing character progression, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does in the last couple episodes.
She is way more confident, but it you could see that come around in the first starting episodes where she was really put to the test, and that kind of brought that. I mean, tell me that the hardships bring out either the worst or the best in people. And it seems like she's starting to take on, she's starting to see the bad side, I guess, or whatever, and taking on that role of being somebody who's more in control and more understanding of, you know, this is a team. This is what we need to do. This is what we have to do.
I think I've always looked at her a little differently ever since she had that conversation in season two or the end of season one, maybe. It was when they go back to Kamino and she sort of says like, oh, I was there when you guys were born. And, you know, it's just sort of puts you in this place of reminder that it's like, yeah, she's basically unaltered. Whereas all her clone brothers and stuff, they're genetically altered. So, you know, she's like their older sister, even though she's quite a bit younger and is treated like that all the time. You know, she definitely has like the age, the years of wisdom behind how long she's lived. Whereas the clones, like their experience comes through training and drills and basically just being thrown into warfare. So, you know, very different ways how they've each been raised. So, yeah, it's always nice to kind of like, I guess, you know, have a retrospective moment on that, you know, just where her character has come from.
So I kind of watched this one and in the last one kind of in tandem. Or like one after the other. So I know I wasn't here for like the last episode, but the last episode was like so action packed. Like it was, yeah, it was like a really cool watch. And then, this one, I feel like this one was kind of, I wouldn't say like they're definitely like setting up, you know, for like the final couple episodes. Right. And I think they're really, like you guys are saying, like, they're really trying to make Omega into her own like functioning person so they can do something most likely with her after the show is done. And I think when Omega is an adult, like she's going to be like a really cool character to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's definitely a good call. I didn't even think about
it. Well, the first words that came to mind when I was watching the credits start to roll was, man, that was a really high stakes filler episode.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit that what I was kind of getting at as well. I didn't want to like immediately just be like, it was boring compared to the last one. But
like you said, it needs to set up for like the big finale, right? So it's like, yeah, this kind of had to be done. And there's like, yeah, explanations of why Tantus is so hard to get to, which I think it'd be fun for us to kind of talk about and see if this actually makes sense or not. Mm. Like, see if we can poke any holes in it. We can get to that later. And I know you guys are getting into Omega, but how she's developing, you know, into a strong, independent character. But more importantly than that, in this episode, we finally saw Echo do something, which we've been waiting for the entire series for this. And he did something that no one else could, except if maybe they had an astromech droid.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's so funny because like we always joke about Echo being sort of, or we did joke about him being kind of the more useless one out of the Bad Batch, you know, when he was with that crew. So I think it was a good in story, you know,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Would they have tech? Like, why do they need, you know, a cybernetic, you know, Echo, right? When you got the computer guy. So that's basically, and that's his superpower. So like they both have the same superpower. Like, you know, it's like there's no point to it really. So I'm glad that they sort of outed his character a little bit and he's popped in here and there. But that's a great point to make. We actually
be useful. I've always just felt a little bad for the guy because can you imagine you're like a war hero, you got in like a horrible accident and then you wake up in a hospital and someone's grafted a USB drive to your arm?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
it's like a really crappy version of the Matrix. It's a Matrix, thanks, but guys. On a budget.
It's like the Matrix, man. But like, you know, 8-bit, where it's all of a sudden you hear like the Duck Hunt music.
We got 2 episodes left until this show is done. Like, done. That's
crazy.
Yeah, the last 2 episodes are called Flash Strike and The Cavalry Has Arrived. And just based on those titles, I can only imagine that this is literally going to be the finale that we all expect is going to happen. They're going to go in there, they're going to save Omega, they're going to get out, and that'll be the end of the show. And then a lot of us are going to be like, but what comes next? Right.
Yeah.
And I hope for sure. Okay, here's just my like 2 cents on this. So it's not fact or anything, but I hope that the next show that they do after this, because obviously they brought Ventress back, you
that
know,
was insane.
That was pretty ridiculous. So like, I think, you know, the next show is going to not only be sort of, it'll definitely have her in it, but it'll have probably the Bad Batch again. And I hope that it doesn't just evolve around the same group of characters every single week, because that's something that I think is a bit of a shortfall for both shows like Rebels Rebels and the Bad Batch, that's where Clone Wars really has an advantage, is because we got to see so many awesome storylines all over the place happening at the same time. And like, we got time, some of the best story arcs in that show is like, you know, three episodes of Boba Fett, or like, you know, two or three episodes of like Cad Bane, or like Ventress, or Dooku, or Sidious, or Maul, right? Like, you know, some of those character arcs are amazing, and it just, I find this era fascinating, you know, going into the rise of the Empire, and it just almost sucks that we've only seen like the same group of characters every single week.
They're going to come out, so Bad Batch just ended. They're not doing any more Mandalorians. Now, I think it was Mando is 19 BBY, or sorry, Mando's 9 ABY. So, but it's going to be, what do you think if it's Omega at some point showing up as some sort of closure thing in the Mandalorian movie?
Oh, that'd be pretty
the one
crazy.
With Grogu. And they bring in, of course, the team too, so you see all of the clones. Because they're ending the show.
Yeah, show's ending, right? Like, I highly doubt they're going to just kill off all these characters.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. So they're going to show up. Yeah. The question is when and where, right?
No, like, let's see them live action though. Because they already brought Rex back.
Right. But that would be very interesting.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. The Return of the Jedi.
You know, somehow plotline it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think like Ahsoka season 2 is also a good candidate. Like, would they cast Sylvester Stallone as Hunter? Right. Like, would they?
would they cast Tamara Morrison as Omega? He's just got like a wing on.
You need to get on my arms.
Let's fill out this casting, shall we? So Tamara Morrison as Omega. We got Sylvester Stallone as Rambo, as Hunter. Who would play Wrecker? Vin Diesel? Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson. The Rock.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, who's playing Crosshair?
Who's so fit? John Malkovich.
A super ancient Clint Eastwood.
Tell me that one. A younger Clint Eastwood or a John Malkovich. I would go for either one.
I feel like Johnny Depp with how thin he is right now would work.
Oh yeah, dude. That's a good one.
He has the jawline right now. He stab someone's eye out with his jaw.
Would Tamara also play Echo?
Yeah, Tamara would also have to play Echo. Yeah, yeah.
Just play both characters with a wig and without.
Yeah, or Omega could be played by a now all grown up Daniel Radcliffe? No, not Radcliffe. Daniel Logan.
Radcliffe?
I was about to say Radcliffe. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. That's not the right
Daniel. I was like, wow.
Yeah, Daniel Logan.
Harry Potter himself.
Daniel Rogan.
Finally got to see Hunter use his abilities, sort of, because I feel like he's one of the characters that, and I think I was talking about this maybe a week or two ago, but and I want to ask your opinion on this too, Bryce, because I haven't heard from you about any of this show like on the podcast yet. But I think just in my own head, we're sort of winding down in the sense of like where these characters can go, like further into new territory. Like, we haven't really seen Wrecker really do much with his incredible brute force, you know, other than lift some crates. And, you know, Hunter's not really been hunting all that much. Like, they tracked down one bounty in like the last season, maybe, and that was pretty much it. And he sort of sensed like Echo doing his thing on the ship. And then he, you know, pulled that whole like swift maneuver with the ship and docked right before they launched in the hyperspace. I was like, okay, that's probably him tapping into his like instincts, right? His heightened instincts. Cool. But I just get the feeling this entire season that like they haven't really been put.
I thought he was just trusting his comrade.
Sorry. Well, yeah, maybe. In which case, he wouldn't use his powers, which kind of leads me back to my original point. Like, what real use are these powers that they like? When the show kind of came out, we were marketed with, this is a group of super soldier clones that all have special abilities. Well, now we're at the point where it's kind of useless, right? Like, we're at the point where it's like all sort of coming to a winding down sort of state of, they're just kind of normal people. And they're not really hyping up the special ability aspect as much. Like we also have a sniper who can't really shoot anymore.
Yeah, Crosshair is useless now.
Yeah, like, he's useless. Tech's dead.
True.
Hunter doesn't hunt and Wrecker doesn't lift. Like, what do we got left? We got a bad batch.
Nice.
So so Bryce, like you were really getting into the show, and because we haven't heard from you for this whole season, my question to you is like what are you enjoying most about season three right now that is maybe in your way, in your own head? Like, do you favor season three a little more than season one, or do you think that this show is kind of reaching the end of its lifespan, you know, as far as what they could do with the characters, etc.? Like what's your whole take on that?
It's funny because like I'm not sure I'm the one to ask about this, because like for me, my least favorite, not my least favorite, the most, my favorite thing about the series, honestly, is like the visuals and like just the look of the show. I'm not sure if like many
people watch it. It's a great 100%.
Yeah, like I
fully agree.
It's so high quality for like a, and also some of the episodes are pretty, like it's not really a kid show anymore. This is not really marketed towards kids anymore, The Bad Batch. It's marketed towards probably like teens or like young adults even.
I was gonna say big kids.
Yeah,
like us.
Yeah, like us. Man children, yeah.
But I do agree, man. The visuals are really stunning.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever huge on the characters of The Bad Batch to begin with.
Same.
But I am interested in like the story and the plot that they're setting up for and the way it affects like the universe as a whole. I feel like they're doing that really effectively.
What do you think about where they're going with that? Like that's the thing that I'm like, it's once they end that, like Bryce, dude, once they end this, what's going to happen? Like, to me, I think that's where it's going to go in, and they're going to try and tie it to something live action.
I feel like this whole thing is they're tying it to like Palpatine's cloning scheme, right? And they're just trying to make and how Rey came to be. I feel like that's kind of the whole purpose.
again, Omega. Yeah. Maybe she's somehow like the tortured vessel to create the Empire or the Emperor or something. You know what I mean? Like there's so many avenues to go with what could happen in the future of Omega and all the cloning. Oh, and side note, we have a Sifo DS as for a lightsaber. We have Sifo DS.
Nice.
I just had to toss that in there.
Where the real money from the movie is made.
That was awesome.
Blake, what's your 2 cents on just like where, you know, I guess like what I mentioned about how this show's winding out, like what are your thoughts on it?
It kind of feels that way. It feels like they've really built up the story to come to a head here.
Yeah.
I mean, this could change, right? I mean, look at the end of the Rebels series. So it felt like it was kind of leading up to this big finale. Like how to get, like these characters don't show up in the original trilogy. So I got to do something with them. They have to, everyone just assumed they're going to die, like Rogue One, right? And then lo and behold, he managed to find a way to write them into the story later. So maybe I do feel like characters nowadays seem to never actually die or stay dead. So I have no idea what will actually happen, but it feels like we're kind of heading to a choke point.
Right.
We have a saying in skydiving. If it didn't happen on film, it didn't happen. So in the terms of Star Wars, if you didn't see like a... the guy's dead. They're not dead. Like, is Han Solo really dead?
Is he just dead?
Kind of dead.
I mean, they did blow up a planet with him inside, but...
It's a good point to make.
Was it filmed? Wait, was it filmed? That's an assumption in the Star Wars universe, because look at Palpatine. That thing, that it blew up. He was in it. Oh, but right. Things are unnatural.
With this logic being followed... I'm sorry, Josh. Mace Windu's alive.
No!
Oh, he is. Oh, my God, Josh.
Bring him back.
Mace Windu's alive. Are you serious?
No, dude, we were talking about this last week, just jokingly, just trying to, you know, trying to piece together exactly how many pieces he's in, because I'm a firm believer that it would be probably one of the worst decisions that they could ever possibly do in the story to bring Mace Windu back.
Never.
Not Palpatine in a somehow years. Returned being please, the worst decision please. They've ever made.
That's Filoni. Also the worst.
I think they've already made the worst decision ever.
Bring him back.
So there's two worst decisions ever, no right? Way. There's two worst decisions ever. I think one of them was bringing Palpatine back. The other one would be bringing Mace Windu back. I'll tell you
guys,
why.
Guys, there's like five of us. Can we like vote Josh?
Dude, I'm like... Yeah.
Okay, here's my reason why this is, okay? So there's two real big right. decisions that Anakin makes in his life, right? Like, so what the first one is, you know, doing what he does. does to Mace Windu because of Padme, right? Like that's his turning point in his entire life. Like that's one of the big turning points that he has.
Okay.
And it's the one that pushes him over to the dark side, right? So without Mace Windu's death, right, that whole thing is like altered. If they brought him back, I feel like that whole like decision, like Anakin feels guilty for killing Mace Windu, right? Like okay, not, well, not no, because he sliced off he his hand. I mean, yeah, he feels guilty about that, but like no, he allowed Mace Windu to be killed by Palpatine. No,
okay.
And then the second big thing is he does redeem himself by killing Palpatine, which they kind of brought him back and made that moot. So that was like the two big things that they should never go back on is bringing back Palpatine and bringing back Mace Windu, because those are the two turning points in his cycle, right? And they've already broken one of those things. If they brought Mace Windu back, that would be one of the worst decisions that they could ever do, because then everything's undone. Okay, go ahead, Kyle. Josh, have at it.
For real, dude, it's Mace freaking Windu. For one, you even said like, oh, okay, he was killed and put out, killed, finger quote, unfinger quote, out the window.
Yeah.
It's out the window. I mean, Jesus, Luke fell out of the freaking Sky City. And still got picked up. Like Palpatine got turned into a freaking, I'm a natural. Okay, like, and you're telling me Windu? And Windu's the one. So Windu is the Qui-Gon of chest shots. Everybody else gets to live. Sabine got to live through the chest shot. The fifth sister got to live through the chest shot. From getting hit with the saber through the chest.
I think Mace Windu got hit in this. He just lost his hand.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So you're telling me Mace Windu is the Qui-Gon, because Qui-Gon got, you know, stabbed in the chest and he dies, but everybody else lives.
Including, Maul got cut in half.
Well, it doesn't help that they cremated his body. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah. He was just alive and they just burned him.
What I'm saying is, okay, the people that are out there can hear what I'm saying, okay? Like, what I'm saying is that it's equal to what I'm saying. Mace Windu is the Qui-Gon, so all the people that got stabbed in the chest with a lightsaber, everybody lives, but Qui-Gon. So everybody that falls down a goddamn hole in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, the Emperor, everybody, they all live, but Mace Windu dies. Come on, man. Well, actually, come on.
So you're saying that people falling down a hole is not a very effective way to kill anybody.
Man, look, I'm waiting for Phasma's comeback, okay? I'm literally waiting for Phasma's comeback where it was like, I was sucked out of the thing before the fire got me.
Oh, last week, we compared the speed of gravity, how long he had to fall, to how long it took Luke to recover. it wasn't in his favor.
No, that was our pretty bad estimate.
Well, see, look, Luke's favor, and he lived.
Yeah.
So, okay, Mace Windu went out the window in Coruscant, okay, on Coruscant, at the temple. He was at the Senate building, the Emperor, the Senate. So you're not telling me that there's guys down at the bottom of the ground in the Senate going, oh my God, everything's going down. Oh my God, there's a Jedi flying out of the sky.
You know, he like hits like checkpoint 10 cars on the way down, and then like, survives and just becomes like a Jedi hobo.
So with one,
he actually fights Boba Fett. That's the comic that I read. He Boba Fett ends up hunting him back down and then getting vengeance for Jango Fett, which I thought that was so good. Like, that's so cool. But I mean, I would support a Mace Windu survives, but isn't, you know, he's not like diving into Mount Tantus and rescuing Omega. Like, maybe he's just, you know, like a crippled guy in a wheelchair with one arm and he's just like passing on his wisdom in a way. Like, maybe something a bit low key, but he survives. I don't know. Maybe
you know what?
Maybe I'm a peacemaker between Kyle and Josh right now.
Hold up. You know what? In the thing of cinematics and Hollywood and talking to people, you're kind of right, because remember when he first said, hey, look, all I want to do is just run across the screen. I could be in a stormtrooper outfit. Let's just say that all they actually do bring him back for is literally him in a wheelchair just wheeling past Obi-Wan.
Samuel Jackson's glass, you know, in the wheelchair.
I knew I was getting this from somewhere deep down in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the image in my head is, just Samuel Jackson. Now he's got a gray afro. You know, he's in a wheelchair. He's kind of loopy, a little insane. Full blast of Sith lightning. And let's not forget, Ventress, and, you know, they brought her back, which I'm still kind of torn up about that because Dark Disciple is one of my favorite books. But her death was so good.
We have Ventress coming out. Just so you know, anytime that you guys mention a saber that we do not have on our website yet, I am going to say, we have that coming up. If you guys actually go on the Star Wars Escape podcast Discord, you guys can see the new Ventress that we have coming out. And you can even see in the stage where our V1 version's coming out, which is the connected type. So you could have the Ventress Clone Wars and connect it to make a Ventress Clone Wars S staff.
So, so Ventress, though, like, they brought her back, right? And she was killed because she was hit by a full blast of Dooku's Sith lightning, right? And Palpatine was very nearly about to kill Luke also with Sith lightning. You know, he was like, it's almost there. Windu being hit by the full blast of, like...
Dude, he got hit for like half a second and went out the window. Okay, the rest of the time, he took the rest of it with his lightsaber.
Right, he was like stunned though, right?
Hey, no.
But, like, Anakin is also hit by Dooku's lightning. He's down for, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, most people get paralyzed because they're struck by
lightning
until he shuts down your nervous system.
Yeah, he's, like, shut down, right? So, like, I feel like he probably was alive when he hit the ground. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Yeah, and that's, like, the most terrifying part about that. Like, he was probably alive when he hit those 10 cars going down and then hit the ground. He experienced every hit.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's say he did a spin and landed on the first car. Oh, see, and all he got zapped with was for half a second.
So I'm and personally in support of Windu staying dead.
You're a big fan of Windu staying dead?
Don't say it like that, Josh. I'm on your side, damn it. Because, okay, in real life, if anyone gets struck by lightning or if they get shocked, here's some medical knowledge for the 3 years I was in nursing. People who get launched across the room from getting shocked and people who get, like, tossed aside from getting struck by lightning, the lightning doesn't do any of that recoil. It's all of your muscles and all of your nerves activating at the exact same time, which actually launches you across the room. Star Wars might be different, but... the contraction from all of your muscles activating at the exact same time probably had some factor into Windu getting launched as far as he did. But after that happens, your muscles and your nervous system are basically in shock for a while, which is why it does take people some time to recover from getting struck by lightning and getting shocked, even in the Star Wars universe. Even if Windu survived the actual hit and he was conscious, he wouldn't be able to move his body as he hit the layers and layers and layers of cars going down the many highways of Coruscant.
Hold up. Now you're piping it on my level. Dude, Mace, again, trying to hit the cars on the way down and everything like that. Again, he was zapped for half a second.
It was not half a second.
Zapped for half a second. How long was he zapped?
No, it was like... What? It was a while. It was like a good good 5 seconds or something
Yeah, Windu was screaming for a little bit before he got yeeted.
Yeah, it was the full time unlimited power.
Unlimited power!
Yeah, and it's like a full 5 seconds, man. Like, there's no way he's surviving that.
No, man, dude. how much did Luke handle?
Luke, he handled, like, bursts.
How much did Luke handle?
He handled bursts, but he also didn't fall out of a window. He was, on the ground.
Also, consider the fact that Palpatine was fighting for his life, and he was unleashing his full power on Mace Windu.
Right.
With Luke... He was basically playing the piano going, da-na-na-na.
Yeah, he was torturing
him. He wasn't toying with him.
He wasn't trying to kill him right away. Like, Luke survived a lot of lightning, but he wasn't trying to kill Luke until the very end where he says, "Now, young Skywalker, you will die." Right? And then he, like, goes at it, and it's, like, maybe 5 or 6 seconds until Vader finally, like, throws him down the hole. But, you know, he didn't get tossed out a window and maybe hit a speeder, like, you know, like 100 meters.
Is there a way I can buy a poster that says, "I refuse to believe," and it's a picture of Mace Windu? landing on his feet.
Yeah, I'll make one for you.
I refuse to believe.
So Mace was lightninged for exactly 17 seconds.
17 seconds.
That's a while.
That's a long time, dude. Like, I'm surprised he didn't drop dead right there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now that you look that up, go and look up, because I can't do it at the same time, but go and look up who was hit for the longest.
Oh, it's easily Mace Windu. Easily. You know? There's no one else hit longer than that.
No. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Because he screamed.
He wasn't dead from the electricity, right, Kyle. It's the fact that his nervous system would have shut down and he wouldn't be able to move properly on his way down.
Right.
After electricity hit him.
Yes.
No, but you guys, from what you guys have said, electricity hit him and killed him.
Well, that's not what we're saying. We're saying the fall killed him, the electricity should have killed him if the fall didn't kill him, right? Like, it's like a multi-layered, there's no way that he could survive this event.
No, we understand. You guys is like flat earth and talking about the moon coming around.
Flat earth it is. Flat earth it is. I'll do you a favor. I'll make that poster. We'll get it printed on a shirt for you. I'm gonna add this into our list of questions for you to ask everyone, all our friends over there in Newfoundland. You can ask them, did Mace Windu survive? I want you to keep track. How many people say yes? How many people say no? And also, there's got to be a difference between, like, I want him to survive and I think he survived. There's definitely a difference there.
That's a great idea.
I'll add it to the list.
So you get a discount code to Elky if you vote for the
say he lives.
Yeah.
I will actually honor that. If you text me or message me or email me, I will actually honor that. 5% off.
No way, dude.
Mace wins.
Man, it's so rigged.
That is rigging the results, Kyle.
Hashtag justice.
That's not rigging it. Dude, this is called capitalism, man. You guys live in the country.
Wait, Kyle, are you also going to have a 5% tax for people who think that Mace Windu died?
No. They just actually don't, like, they're just going to get pushed over. I will still sell them the saber, but I'm going to push you down before, because that's what happened to him, right? You went down, you go down.
I like it.
Shot
like
and throw him out a window.
That's right. I'm going to look you in the face, and I'm going to push you to the ground. But I'll still sell you a saber. That's only a joke, everybody. I'm not actually going to push you to the ground. But I will give you the 5% discount.
He'll sell you the saber and beat you with it.
So dark. All right, let's transition here because we got to do some Pablo Points of Pudus for this Bad Batch episode, and then we got to talk about one more thing. Yeah. So I'll kick things off here, I'll say I'll give this one 1.5 Pablo points. You know, it was nice to see Echo back doing his thing. It was cool to see them go back to Coruscant. It's not, and nice to see there's like space stations above Coruscant. I thought that was kind of cool. A few things that I liked about it. So yeah, what about you, Blake?
You raised some good points. There was a negative, which was we're seeing even more clone commandos, even on space stations, acting as guards.
Oh man,
kind of stupid.
Yeah, that was a downside. That was a downside. Yeah, thumbs down for that.
Like, I get maybe you could make it stretch that it's related to Tantus because that's where you get all the jump coordinates from.
Yeah,
but man, they're setting a precedent that there's going to be commandos all over the galaxy as just guards.
Yeah, I know.
Be very annoyed.
Yeah, very underused. Yeah, I hate that too. I love seeing the back, but I hate that aspect of it. Yeah. So what's your score?
Yeah. And, well, we didn't talk about the one thing that I thought we should talk about, which was, because we went on a massive tangent about Mace Windu. We didn't talk about if we actually thought there was much logic to the beamed, get the coordinates beamed for the Navi computer. Because, like, I was trying to think, unless, like, they're really, really, I guess, anal about deleting the jump coordinates as soon as they get there, like, I feel like they can still get out.
I imagine, just to address that, in my head, it lives the same way that the Death Star plans exist. Very secret, one singular entity of something. You know, it's not exactly like copies of this digital information everywhere sort of thing. It's probably sparingly sent and then maybe auto-erased or something, or maybe it's encrypted, where, like, to the point where no one can, like, decrypt that information. So they have to sort of find a hackery way to transmit that same information that all the other ships that go to Tantus have to their own ship. So That's the way that I would sort of read into it. But, you know, the magic of Star Wars computational things like that, always, they got to write a book on that. they could write a full book on it, because I would love to know, you know, more about technology and Star Wars and how it all fits together. Because at times it is very, very weird. Yeah.
Just think of a pro, which is, because it's Palpatine's like personal project, right? Because it's like they're using Omega for clones and whatnot, and kind of what happens in the sequels. And he lives on Coruscant, obviously, so the fact that he could very easily then just jump whenever he wants to check in on it, I think is actually a pretty positive as far as planning on a galactic scale.
Right.
The other thoughts? I thought it was kind of a neat idea, because I've been wondering for the last few episodes how they were going to get into this.
Yeah, I don't know. Bryce, you got anything for that?
I don't know. I know, like, something I kind of was kind of thinking about is with like Star Wars and technology, if this is in any way relevant, is that we don't often get to see like old Star Wars tech. I was thinking about this as I was watching it, like certain ships might be really old and they might not have like the tech to be able to actually like track or like do some of these like computations, right?
Blake and I were sort of touching up on that last week with the Star Destroyer that couldn't sense Fee's ship entering the atmosphere because they pretty much just put it in neutral and coasted right past with their engines being off, right?
Well, so they shut off the power, but yeah.
Yeah, they shut off the power and they just kind of like asteroided towards the planet, which to me, I thought that was a little weird because without the power on, the shields wouldn't be on, in which case they would just burn up in the atmosphere, but whatever. Why don't these Star Destroyers have
precedent?
Surely they would still detect organic life signatures.
Right, exactly.
Okay. They can do A New Hope because like they just wanted to save on lasers or whatever, not blast the escape pods, right? The opening scene.
Yeah, that's always puzzled me too.
Maybe O&R too.
Yeah, that's always puzzled me too. But I mean, okay, so the first movie, with some of its flaws aside, you know, like there's a very large established lore at this point with lots of technology that is out there in Star Wars, and it is still surprising that Star Destroyers apparently don't have like sonar, right? Like why wouldn't they not sense something whizzing past their ship?
Also, surely the Empire would have realized that that's a really, really big security flaw.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, to what you said, Bryce, like as far as technology goes, like, you know, I've always been very puzzled at it as well. Like, I think there's a lot to be said as far as, you know, filling in some of the plot holes that come with these story choices that I find technology in Star Wars is sort of like the weakest point of storytelling, where there's not really like a hard set of rules laid out for how things work. And I could be wrong about that in some cases, but like it seems the majority of the times these stories tend to struggle a little bit with keeping continuity in that department.
I feel like there may have been a more defined role for technology at one point,
right?
But now that there's been so much media released, it's kind of like,
yeah,
it kind of just depends on what series you're watching.
Yeah, it gets tricky.
I'd say probably one Papa point. I wasn't dissatisfied. They answered some questions, but I wouldn't be excited to watch it again.
Right.
Let's see. Have we seen these space stations before above Coruscant?
I don't think so.
It's a good question.
No,
I don't think so either. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay, so I was going to give these a Bendu, but I'm going to give it like a 0.5 Pablo point just because those are Ralph McQuarrie. That's Ralph McQuarrie art, which is kind of cool.
Oh, nice. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I think it was a very average episode.
I'd say one Pablo point. It was a very average episode. Nothing was super exciting. It very much feels like a groundling episode. And the thing with the commandos and... there are a lot of questionable choices with certain things this season, but overall, happy with where it's going.
Yeah. Sweet. I'm going to downgrade mine to one Pablo point as well.
Just one. Okay. My Pablo Poodoos is actually a one because it's something that I enjoyed to watch, but it's not something that like really excited me or anything. It's just, it was Star Wars. It wasn't bad. And I was excited to see it. Before I do go, I do want to say this. I actually met the only 501 person in all of Newfoundland.
Wow. Huh.
And the dude dresses as a Jawa. Yeah.
I love it.
Some that checks out. The one 501st members of Jawa.
The rural landscape of Newfoundland. Yeah.
Here's the cool thing. They still have challenge coins. And if you ask Francis, I started collecting 501 challenge coins.
You nick one from the Jawa?
And he's going to bring me one tomorrow for me and Alex.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah, well, yeah. There you go. Well, I have no doubt that he's listening to this podcast right now. So shout out to him.
The Newfoundland Jawa.
Yeah, the Newfoundland Jawa.
There you go. Shout out to my buddy over in the 501, dude, the Jawa. And thank you for stopping by today and just introducing yourself. And I look forward to getting that challenge coin from you, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyle.
I believe in Mace.
I swear to God,
dude,
if you mention Mace Windu one more time.
No, I did it. I did it. You guys heard it. If you could pull it out of whatever I just said, because I can't remember it again.
You got ruined. You got to do it again.
I did say it. I said it. Awesome.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much for popping on. And,
I shall. I will see you guys from the East Coast of Canada.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week.
Have fun at the con. It sounds like
Take it easy, man. Yeah, have fun
this
weekend.
Cheers, everybody. Later.
See you, buddy. Alrighty. Thank you again to Kyle for popping on. Definitely go check out Alky Solutions at the Newfoundland Convention if you haven't already been there, because I guess this episode drops next week. So yeah, we'll definitely look forward to hearing from all of the fans that saw Kyle and Alex at the booth at the convention. So that'll be cool. But I got one more thing that we can transition to right before we wrap up here. And hopefully that didn't take too long because I think we're going over time. But we'll get into a very quick article about the Mandalorian Grogu. Let's spin it. All right, so real quick, Mandalorian and Grogu has a release date of May 22nd, 2026, and also thanks to Molly, who has been a lovely guest on the podcast in the past about Galaxy's Edge's very own Galactic Star Cruiser in Florida, if anyone remembers that episode. So she publishes news articles for Screen Rant, and one of the more recent ones, 5 days ago, she put out one called Star Wars Insider Production Update Hints The Mandalorian Season 4 Is Even Less Likely. And this is in relation to the fact that there is a movie called The Mandalorian Grogu, which they announced, and there's no official release announcement about Season 4 happening. So, you know, I just wanted to at least just bring it up very quickly, you know, before, you know, just maybe I can ask you about it, Francis. Like, what are your thoughts on, not season four happening, but this movie happening instead of a season four and then sort of having that story conclude?
I was kind of looking forward to a season four. But I guess if they're going to wrap up the entirety of the Mandalorian story just in a movie, I don't know. A part of me just feels a bit unsatisfied with that.
Yeah.
It feels like there's still a lot that they could do and a lot
more
that they could explore.
Right.
And if it's going to get wrapped up in like a 2-hour movie, it feels like that's lacking.
Right. Yeah. What about you, Bryce?
I think I kind of agree. Like if they're going to do a movie, like they should end on like do another season, end on a really big cliffhanger, and then do like a movie as like a last episode, but just with a crazy budget, right?
Mm.
And but to have a movie wrap up the whole Mando kind of universe it's gonna be so hard to make it satisfying, I think.
Fair enough. Go for it, Blake.
See, I think I feel the same way. I think the thing to compare it to would be like Endgame, right? The Avengers, they had all these movies leading up to like the big finale.
Right.
Feel like, I mean, I don't know what's coming out in the next shows and stuff that'll be before this movie. So maybe we'll get there. But as it stands right now, it doesn't feel time yet for the Endgame film.
Yeah, and you think if they were going to do like an Endgame movie, they would wait till a bunch of they did a bunch of TV series and then did like, they wouldn't call it Mandalorian and Grogu, they'd call it something else, but then all the characters would be in it, right?
Star Wars Endgame.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not fully gone yet. Just a second.
He's back.
I'm listening to you guys talk, and I am back. I'm kind of with you on the like the movie thing being too rushed, where it's the movie where they had so much to explore.
Yeah.
I mean, Grogu's 50.
800 years of content.
I think like maybe season three sort of was a bit of a tell for them, right? Like season three critically never did as well as the first two seasons, and perhaps they're sort of faced with a Bad Batch scenario where it's like, oh well, maybe we've reached the end of the story naturally, just with like what people are willing to continue to be interested in. I got one more thing before we're gonna wrap up. Very quick mention: I've been watching through all of my Star Wars Blu-rays recently, the 4K. Bonus feature discs that I have in some of these steelbooks. They got this insanely good documentary on there called The Skywalker Legacy. And I urge anyone who has the ability to watch this documentary on the disc to definitely check it out, because it was very good. They, you know, at the very least, you're getting a documentary full of people who just love Star Wars, you know, and there was a lot of cool things that they actually said about episode 9, which, you know, again, I might have my own personal gripe with the movie, but it was really a well-respected, you know, group of people who put a lot of effort in that movie. And some of the things that they did for the set and for paying tribute to Star Wars as a whole was really well done. Like, I know a lot of people already know that John Williams has a cameo in the movie, but what I didn't know is that the shelf behind him is full of all these knickknacks, all of which represent movies that he scored for.
What?
Yeah, so there's like a giant time turner on the wall. There's like an iron from Home Alone that they've Star Warsified. There's a whole bunch of stuff. All these movies that he's ever composed for, right behind him in that shelf.
The dark side is young, I see.
In that... So I thought that was super cool. There was information like that just throughout most of this documentary. It's just things that I didn't really think about, you know, being in the state of mind of thinking to myself like, oh my goodness, like this movie, where they went to film certain things was pretty crazy. I also didn't realize that there was that entire Passana dance number fully. I mean, there was probably digital background people, but they actually had like a ton of background. Like it was like 100 people or something, all in all in these masks, wearing the costumes, all, you know, had sort of learned how to do the dance, and they all did it in camera. So I thought that was super sick as well. There's like so many different things that like there was so much effort put into that movie, it was just a really good watch. So I just wanted to share that because I feel like I give episode 9 a lot of sour, but I enjoyed the documentary a lot.
Nice, man. Right. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, thank you, Kyle, for coming back first off, and super exciting weekend for you ahead. So once again, you know, thanks for chatting with all those people out there in Newfoundland, you know, about the podcast, and looking forward to hearing their answers to some of these questions that I'll send you a list for through the weekend. So, thanks again in advance to everyone who speaks to Kyle about those questions, and you know,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and good luck with the meeting people and. You know,
oh yeah,
selling the sabers. Yeah,
and, apparently we're the stars.
Yeah. Awesome. I have no doubt about that. Thank you again to Francis for coming on. Thank you, sir. Being in person in the escape pod, and Blake and Bryce, of course, as well. Thank you both for popping on.
Always a pleasure,
man. It's always a good time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And we will see you guys all in the next episode for the second last episode of The Bad Batch Season 3. And then our May 4th finale.
We'll see you out there. Keep flying.
All right. Thank you so much to our lovely audience tuning in each week. If you haven't already, definitely share this show with a friend, because that helps us out a lot. What people don't really realize is when you share the show with somebody and somebody listens in, it helps with the algorithms. It helps, if they rate the show, give us the 5 stars. There's 4,000 Star Wars podcasts out there. It helps people find ours, you know, by looking up Star Wars in the podcast department. So that's why we love those 5-star reviews. That's why we love people sharing the show. And, people like Kyle visiting all these people at conventions definitely does the trick as well. So thank you again to him. Thank you all for tuning in. Our socials are in the description below, as well as any news relevant links. Thank you again to Yoshiman222 for our Twitch stream last week for Republic Commando Binge. We got part 2 on the way. At some point we'll get around to doing that and finish that game off with the live stream commentary. That was pretty fun to do. We will catch you on the next episode of Star Wars Escape Pod, and may the Force be with you.